Lead us through a place, guide us with your grace, to a place where we're safe.
Welcome to the Wednesday Gathering, a live Christian Science teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting, hosted by prayerfulliving.com and open to all. We're delighted that you have joined us as a participant in the spiritual oasis. For those with a computer, our web address is prayerfulgathering.com. Within the tall, narrow box on the right-hand side of the page, click on the link labeled Follow the Meeting, which provides the order of service, along with links to the words of the hymns and other information. To hear previous healing messages, click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive. Now let's begin this Wednesday Gathering with singing hymn number 284. Again, welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. The topic of today's healing message is Praying in the Lion's Den. The hymns are 284, 209, and 33. I shall be reading from the King James Version of the Bible and correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. The Bible, John. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Romans. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? In all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Daniel. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king, and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, The thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. And the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Then the king arose very early in the morning, and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel, and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him, innocency was found in me. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. Isaiah, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. Psalms, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Are we benefited by praying? Yes, the desire which goes forth hungering after righteousness is blessed of our Father, and it does not return unto us void. The prayer that reforms the sinner and heals the sick is an absolute faith that all things are possible to God, a spiritual understanding of him, an unselfed love. Prayer cannot change the science of being, but it tends to bring us into harmony with it. Goodness attains the demonstration of truth. A request that God will save us is not all that is required. The mere habit of pleading with the divine mind as one pleads with a human being perpetuates the belief in God as humanly circumscribed, an error which impedes spiritual growth. The highest prayer is not one of faith merely, it is demonstration. Such prayer heals sickness and must destroy sin and death. it distinguishes between truth that is sinless and the falsity of sinful sense. The history of Christianity furnishes sublime proofs of the supporting influence and protecting power bestowed on man by his heavenly Father, omnipotent mind, who gives man faith and understanding, whereby to defend himself not only from temptation, but from bodily suffering. Unless an ill is rightly met and fairly overcome by truth, the ill is never conquered. If God destroys not sin, sickness, and death, they are not destroyed in the mind of mortals, but seem to this so-called mind to be immortal. What God cannot do, man need not attempt. If God heals not the sick, they are not healed. For no lesser power equals the infinite all power. But God, truth, life, love, does heal the sick through the prayer of the righteous. If God makes sin, if good produces evil, if truth results in error, then science and Christianity are helpless. But there are no antagonistic powers nor laws, spiritual or material, creating and governing man through perpetual warfare. God is not the author of mortal discords. Therefore, we accept the conclusion that discords have only a fabulous existence, are mortal beliefs which divine truth and love destroy. To hold yourself superior to sin because God made you superior to it and governs man is true wisdom. To fear sin is to misunderstand the power of love and the divine science of being in man's relation to God. To doubt his government and distrust his omnipotent care. To hold yourself superior to sickness and death is equally wise and is in accordance with divine science. To fear them is impossible when you fully apprehend God and know that they are no part of his creation. By looking a tiger fearlessly in the eye, Sir Charles Napier sent it cowering back into the jungle. A man's gaze fastened fearlessly on a ferocious beast often causes the beast to retreat in terror. This latter occurrence represents the power of truth over error, the might of intelligence exercised over mortal beliefs to destroy them. Gazing at a chained lion, crouched for a spring, should not terrify a man. The body is affected only with the belief of disease produced by a so-called mind ignorant of the truth, which chains disease. Nothing but the power of truth can prevent the fear of error and prove man's dominion over error. Sickness, sin, and death must at length quail before the divine rights of intelligence, and then the power of mind over the entire functions and organs of the human system will be acknowledged. The decaying flower, the blighted bud, the gnarled oak, the ferocious beast, like the discords of disease, sin, and death, are unnatural. They are the falsities of sense, the changing deflections of mortal mind. They are not the eternal realities of mind. Disease is not an intelligence to dispute the empire of mind, or to dethrone mind and take the government into its own hands. Sickness is not a God-given nor self-constituted material power which copes astutely with mind and finally conquers it. God never endowed matter with power to disable life or to chill harmony with a long and cold night of discord. Such a power without the divine permission is inconceivable. If disease can attack and control the body without the consent of mortals, sin can do the same, for both are errors announced as partners in the beginning. The Christian scientist finds only effects where the ordinary physician looks for causes. The real jurisdiction of the world is in mind, controlling every effect and recognizing all causation as vested in divine mind. Uncover error and it turns the lie upon you until the fact concerning error, namely its nothingness, appears. The moral demand will not be met and the ability to make nothing of error will be wanting. We should blush to call that real which is only a mistake. The foundation of evil is laid on a belief in something besides God. This belief tends to support two opposite powers instead of urging the claims of truth alone. The mistake of thinking that error can be real when it is merely the absence of truth leads to belief in the superiority of error. Think less of the enactments of mortal mind, and you will sooner grasp man's God-given dominion. You must understand your way out of human theories relating to health, or you will never believe that you are quite free from some ailment. The harmony and immortality of man will never be reached without the understanding that mind is not in matter. Let us banish sickness as an outlaw and abide by the rule of perpetual harmony, God's law. It is man's moral right to annul an unjust sentence, a sentence never inflicted by divine authority. There is but one primal cause, therefore there can be no effect from any other cause, and there can be no reality in aught which does not proceed from this great and only cause. Sin, sickness, disease, and death belong not to the science of being. They are the errors which presuppose the absence of truth, life, or love. When the illusion of sickness or sin tempts you, cling steadfastly to God and His idea. Allow nothing but His likeness to abide in your thought. Let neither fear nor doubt overshadow your clear sense and calm trust that the recognition of life harmonious as life eternally is can destroy any painful sense of or belief in that which life is not. Let Christian science, instead of corporeal sense, support your understanding of being, and this understanding will supplant error with truth, replace mortality with immortality, and silence discord with harmony. Evil thoughts and aims reach no farther and do no more harm than one's belief permits. Evil thoughts, lusts, and malicious purposes cannot go forth like wandering pollen from one human mind to another, finding unsuspected lodgment, if virtue and truth build a strong defense. Christ presents the indestructible man, whom spirit creates, constitutes, and governs. Christ illustrates that blending with God, his divine principle, which gives man dominion over all the earth. Become conscious for a single moment that life and intelligence are purely spiritual, neither in nor of matter, and the body will then utter no complaints. If suffering from a belief in sickness, you will find yourself suddenly well. Sorrow is turned into joy when the body is controlled by spiritual life, truth, and love. Hence the hope of the promise Jesus bestows, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Because I go unto my Father, because the ego is absent from the body and present with truth and love." The Lord's Prayer is the prayer of soul, not of material sense. When the evidence before the material senses yielded to spiritual sense, the apostle declared that nothing could alienate him from God, from the sweet sense and presence of life and truth. Spiritual man is the image or idea of God, an idea which cannot be lost nor separated from its divine principle. It is ignorance and false belief based on a material sense of things which hides spiritual beauty and goodness. Understanding this, Paul said, neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. This is the doctrine of Christian Science, that divine love cannot be deprived of its manifestation or object. The joy cannot be turned into sorrow, for sorrow is not the master of joy. That good can never produce evil, that matter can never produce mind, nor life result in death. The perfect man, governed by God, his perfect principle, is sinless and eternal. Now, cried the apostle, is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, meaning not that now men must prepare for a future world salvation or safety, but that now is the time in which to experience that salvation in spirit and in life. Understanding the control which love held over all, Daniel felt safe in the lion's den, and Paul proved the viper to be harmless. This concludes the healing message and the publicly recorded portion of the meeting.
Daniel in the lion's den, Daniel in the lion's den, Daniel in the lion's den. Now is the needed time.